Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A Pew Research Center survey published in September found that one in four adults have had trouble paying their bills since the coronavirus outbreak started. A third have dipped into savings or retirement accounts to make ends meet, and about one in six have borrowed money from friends or family or gotten food from a food bank. And according to the Labor Department data released in February, the United States is still down 9.5 million jobs compared to February of 2020, a month before the pandemic hit. Washington Post personal finance columnist Michelle Singletary says that we're always only a matter of years away from another recession or financial crisis. And in her words, quote, "It's not about being fearful. I'm planning for what I know by now is inevitable. In her new book called What to Do with Your Money When Crisis Hits, a Survival Guide, she offers practical guidance on how you can plan. And she covers so many scenarios. Job loss, paying off debt, saving for retirement, navigating the gig economy. And that's why Michelle Singletary joins us now for today's Ask an Expert dedicated to managing money and personal finance, especially around a time of crisis. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. Get in on this conversation. How are you managing your finances, especially during the economic downturn brought on by the pandemic? What strategies have worked for you? Or maybe you'd like a little financial guidance from our expert? You can give us a call. 646-435-7280. That's the phone number. You can always tweet to us at @allofitwnyc. Or if you want to remain anonymous, because this is about money and people sometimes don't want to, you know, you can DM us at Instagram at @allofitwnyc for those of you who'd like to remain anonymous. All right. So, Michelle, you have something that I think is just so smart and so practical. The idea that no one size fits all solution to managing finances. There just isn't one. So with that in mind, when people pick up your book, how do you want them to use it? What's the best way to go about going through your advice?
You know, it's interesting. So I section the book off in different parts. Like if you're in dire need right now, you know, you've got some little room in your budget, you're looking towards the future. And so oftentimes people will just skip to the sections that apply to them, and that's fine. But I kind of want you to start, if you can, from the beginning, because there may be a question that you need to ask that you don't even know that you need to ask. And so hopefully, you know what I mean? Like you might say, should I buy a house right now? But that actually might not be the question that you should be asking. You should be asking, should I get rid of my debt and then buy a house? You know? Mm-hmm. And I actually liken the book. I was thinking about this morning as I was preparing for your interview, and I was thinking, it's like the men and women in fire stations, right? They have all the equipment ready to go at a moment's notice in case they're called to a fire. They don't want a fire. We're praying that there won't be one, but you know that there will be one, and you need to prepare. And that's kind of what this book does. It's like it's preparing you for that financial fire that may happen. And you don't want to be caught off guard.
So let's start with the basics first. That's the first part of the book, and it includes how to triage during an emergency when you've been laid off or fired from your job. What are the triage categories? How do you prioritize?
Yeah, so if you can explain what that means, because if you've ever been to an emergency room, like say you went in for a sprained ankle and you're sitting there and someone comes in after you've been sitting there for an hour or two and they take them right back and you're like, wait a minute, I've been here. But that person's having a heart attack and they need to go back right away. They need to be seen. And so you look at your bills the same way. So their bills, you got to, you know, take care of all of them. But when you have less money, you've lost your job, you're going to be that heart attack victim. You're going to look at your bills and just pay those that are the most necessary. Food on the table, roof over your head. Does it mean that you don't come up with a plan to pay with the other ones. You call your creditors, you try to work out a pause in your payment, but you got to take care of the bills that are like an emergency.
Let's get to some calls. Daniel on line one has called in from the Bronx. He's got a goal that he's trying to meet. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air with Michelle Singletary.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you.
One of the things that I realized in this pandemic is that I no longer want to do the rat race. I mean, of course, money's is a great thing, but I want to focus more on health. You know, I believe health is wealth. And one of my goals is that I would like to, you know, live financial free by the time I'm 35. And I want to put my money in places where I think are important. And so my question to you is, what is the best thing to do? I'm 28 right now. What is the best thing to do moving forward for the next 5 or 7 years that I can do? Like, what will be a good first step for me to get me on the right path where I don't necessarily have to work for someone? I could you know, own something. What can I do right now?
Such an interesting question. I think a lot of people are having that thought. Like, they want to do something different. They want to be out on their own. They don't necessarily want to work for somebody else. So they need a plan to get there.
Yeah, it's a great question. So, Daniel, I would say, do you have any debt?
Not necessarily. I just have student loan debt, and that's pretty much the only big
one.
Okay,
so you have debt.
Yeah.
Okay, so how much student loan debt do you have?
Over 20K.
Okay, so the first thing I want you to do is attack that debt. Before you leave your day job, before you venture out, I want you to live your dream, but I want you to be financially sound when you do. So I want you to take all the extra money you can possibly find and get rid of that debt. And then at the same time, I want you to begin to build an emergency fund. So that's 3 to 6 months of living expenses, and then a life happens fund for the things in life that happens. If you drive a car, it breaks down, or, you know, you've got to pay extra car payments. Maybe you get ill or something like that. You want to have a pot of money that is not the emergency fund. That's like if you lose your job or you don't have that income coming in that you want to come. If you leave your day job or full-time job and you decide to be a small business owner or a gig worker. And so those are the two things I want you to do. Get rid of that debt and build up your savings so that you have a cushion so that when you go out on your own and you change how you work, you will be able to still do the things that you need to do to take care of the necessities.
Thanks so much. Good luck to you, my friend. I hope everything works out for you. Let's go to Jason, who is calling in from Greenpoint. Hi, Jason. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. So I just wanted to share, actually, an app that I've downloaded, which has completely changed my life. It's called You Need a Budget, or YNAB for short. And it has allowed me to categorize all of my expenses in a way that just seems so impossible for my ADHD brain. And so keeping track of all of my transactions and putting them in all in the proper categories has allowed me to create an emergency fund. I opened up a high yield savings account and started saving money for the first time in my life. So if you are a person who is feeling like they could never, ever, ever be the sort of person to budget, I recommend downloading this app. It will change your life.
Jason, thanks for the hack. We appreciate it. Michelle, your thoughts about what Jason's done?
Well, you know, in the book, I have a question. And people are always asking me, what's the best app to do your budget? And I'm glad that worked for him. But, you know, technically, really, he was going to do that anyway. It doesn't matter what app you use or application, because it's like the equivalent of buying an exercise bike, right? You can't just simply having the exercise bike isn't going to get you where you want to do. Most people just use it as a place to put their clothes. It doesn't matter what you use. I use pen and paper. I have a lot of money. I have right on my desk as I'm talking to you, I have my little notebook and I just write it down. I don't use an app. I mean, it might work for him. He's motivated. Jason's motivated to get his life together. And that's what made the difference. It wasn't the app. Now he's motivated. He's going to use that exercise bike. You could just walk if you want to, if you want to lose weight. It's not, don't focus on that tool. Focus on changing your philosophy, because that's what he did. He said, I want to get control of my finances. And that's why it worked.
So, Jason, you should take more credit for for your taking control of it. Glad the app got you that way. Thanks so much for calling in. My guest is Michelle Singletary, and her book is What to Do with Your Money When Crisis Hits. Okay, so you have an interesting, some people, obviously, they get in a position where they're thinking, gosh, I might need to ask family or friends for a loan. But you have an interesting point of view on this. You say, don't ask for a loan, ask for a financial gift. Why is this a better ask for everybody?
Well, you know, most people who are asking for a loan, they're in a financial crisis. And so they're not quite sure when they're going to be pay that money back. And they make promises to their friends and relatives, their mom and dad and auntie, yeah, I'm going to pay you back. And then they're still digging themselves out. And now you have ruined that relationship because you can't pay back when you want to, or things still happen. So I suggest that you say, listen, I'm in trouble. Can I have a financial gift? And then if you're on that ask, if you're on the other side of that ask, then you would look at your budget, and if you can afford it, you would give them the money. I do not lend money to anybody, but I do give money to people who are in need. And that is the difference, I think, you know, because you're just going to stress yourself out. The person who's like waiting for this money back. And I say, don't do that. And there are a lot of people, even in this pandemic, who still done well. They kept their job. They got extra money because we weren't all spending. Look around in your life and see who needs help and just help them. You don't even have to wait for them to ask. My husband and I, we have a relative who lost her job in the restaurant business, right? And she was talking to another relative. She would never say anything about she was in need. And I knew because we were talking with family members. And we called up her rental company and we paid her rent for a couple of months. Didn't make a big deal about it. And she's like, oh, I'll pay you back. I said, absolutely not. You will not pay me back. This is my extra money. This is for you. Now, when you start working again, just build up your savings and just worry about that.
My guest is Michelle Singletary. The name of her book is What to Do with Your Money When Crisis Hits. Perfect for this year, for sure. Listeners, we want to hear from you. How are you managing your finances, especially during an economic downturn? What strategies have worked for you? Or maybe you just like some financial advice from our expert. Give us a call at 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. You can also tweet to us at @allofitwnyc, or if you prefer to remain anonymous, you can send us a DM via Instagram, same handle, @allofitwnyc. We'll have more with Michelle. We will talk a little bit about insurance, retirement. This is All of It. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. We are talking finance with Michelle Singletary. The name of her book is What to Do with Your Money When Crisis Hits. I want to put a bow on our loan conversation because I do think some people are going to say, you know what? I want to treat this as a loan and I want to be paid back. Even, you know, some people just have that mindset. So if you want to go that route, you say act like a real banker. Could you explain that?
That's right. Well, first of all, do not do that if you need that money back. So you can say, I'm going to ignore what you said. You're going to be hard-headed. That's fine. But don't lend money you need back. So you've got some extra money you want to lend in. Okay, first of all, you need to act like a banker. So you would assess the person's ability to repay you, what's going on. Now, right now with the pandemic, I don't like people shaking their finger at people and saying, you know, why didn't you have money saved? But in normal times, you want to look at their lifestyle. What's going on? Did they lose a job? Did they get sick? Why do they need the money? Because that's what a bank is going to do, right? They're going to look at what's going on. And then you look at personally, even when we're helping people, maybe giving them money, I want to see your bank statements. I want to see how you've been handling your money for over the last 6 or 7 months. Because I'm not going to lend you money. I don't lend money, but I'm not going to give you money if you've been going to the movies and you've been taking these big vacations and things like that. I save my money. I'm not letting you go during my money that I save. But I do want to make sure that I'm helping people who, through no fault of their own, own has fallen on hard times. Mm-hmm. And that's how you should approach it. And if they don't want to show your financials, if they don't want to come clean with you, then to me that's an indication that you probably shouldn't be lending to them.
Let's go to Roy, who's calling in from Roosevelt Island. Roy is on line one. Hi, Roy. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air. Oh, Roy's not ready. Let's see. Can we get Roy's? Oh, is he there? Unclear. Well, we're going to figure out Roy's line. Let me move on to, I have a question for you that I think a lot of people consider and get nervous about dipping into savings and retirement or taking money out of a 401k to cover what you need. What are the important questions to ask yourself in this moment? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough moment. I would say you sort of look at the pots of money where you can, the sources of money. So we just talked about, you know, giving and asking. So if you have folks that you can ask, can you help me out? You start there. And you'd be surprised. I know I'm saying this and people are listening, go, people are not going to give me any money. But you would be surprised at the people who are standing by who want to help you. And so you go to that pot first. If that doesn't work out, then you would look at, okay, where are my sources? Do I have any savings? If you don't have any savings, okay, so perhaps you've got some money in retirement. It should be as a last resort. You should try to, you know, do cut your expenses, do whatever you can. But if you can't, I'd rather you do that than use like a payday loan or something like that that's going to, you know, payday loans, people tend to keep rolling them over and you end up in this sort of debt trap. I don't want you in that debt trap. After retirement, say you don't have retirement, you might have to use your credit cards. Only charge what you absolutely need, like food and things like that. You know, this is a tough time, and in these times you make tough decisions. And so that's sort of the order you want to go. But initially, just start to see if you can just cut as much as you can. Perhaps you know, look into some shared housing situations. If your lease is coming up, see if you can move in with someone, move back with your parents or your auntie. Or if you're a single parent, maybe there's another single parent that the two of you, the two families can come together and rent a space to cut costs.
It's interesting. You're talking about cutting something, and there, you address the question of canceling health insurance, especially young, healthy people who might do this. I saw this, and I just screamed, no, don't do that. Can you explain?
That's right.
I mean, it's
right.
Medical bills are one of the main reasons people get into huge financial trouble.
Yeah. That's right. It's one of the top reasons people end up filing for bankruptcy. Listen, as young adults, they seem invincible, right? Like I'm young, I'm healthy. But if you can, please keep your health insurance or get a minimum policy. Go to the, you know, healthcare exchange, you know, the ACA, or you like to call it Obamacare. Try to find a way to keep that health insurance, because if you become ill, it could just bankrupt you. And it's a hard sell when you're looking at, okay, Michelle, I can only pay rent and food. And I get it. But in those cases, see if you qualify for Medicaid. But do what you can to keep that as part of your budget. It's so funny. My young adult daughter, who's living with us, by the way, by encouragement from her parents, was going over her benefits package, and it got to vision. And she's like, oh, I don't need it. I got good eyesight. I said, girl, let a purple pop into your eyes. See what it's going to cost to go get it. And I encouraged her, you know, to get that vision plan. And she kind of looked at me cross-eyed. I said, well, at least if you have to look at me cross-eyed, you'll have insurance, you know. So I get it that you've got limited resources, but those of us who are older understand that insurance is there for the time when you don't expect something to happen.
Let's go to Em on line six, calling in from Brooklyn, who has a question for you, Michelle. Hi, Em. Thanks for calling in. You're on with Michelle Singletary.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Thank you. So my question is about balancing out. I have, I unfortunately had to get high dental medical work done, so I had to start saving money. I will add in that creating a savings account separate from my checking in another bank account and routing part of my monthly income to it was great. That I would highly recommend if possible. So I want to ask about balancing dental or medical bills with savings, which I would like to keep part of this money just as a backup, and then balancing that out with debt.
Right.
Like how to navigate those three things that are all very pressing.
Yeah, that's a great question, Anne. So I would say, what kind of job do you have? Do you have a job where you feel that you're fairly secure in a job and you're not going to lose it anytime soon?
Well, let's hope. I mean,
Anne, are you still there?
Going okay.
Okay. Well, let's just say she's got a fairly... Go ahead. Okay, so the reason why I'm asking that is because when you have a choice between paying down debt or saving and you're trying to figure this out, you've actually got to do both. You need a cushion so that if something happens, you can pull from it. But if your job is fairly secure, you heard me earlier say 3 to 6 months, and people are like, I got to get that goal. But when you have a lot of debt, you're going to take it a little slower. So maybe you just have a month's worth, right? And then everything extra you have, you put towards that dental debt or other debts. You need a cushion, because if you don't have some savings and something happens, then you'll end up increasing your debt, like putting it on a credit card. So I want you, but I don't want you to have, and say like you have dental work that's worth $5,000 and you got $10,000 in the bank. No, take that $5 out and pay off that dental bill. You know, I don't want you keeping money into an account when you got debt that you got to pay down, especially if it's high interest debt. Because right now in a savings account, what are they paying? Less than 1%. I mean, you're actually almost paying the bank money to hold your money. So don't stockpile money when you've got a bunch of debt, if you've got fairly secure employment.
All right. Good luck to you. I wanted to go back to Roy. Roy was listening on the radio before. So, Roy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Your question
I'm
for
here.
Me. Yes, go for it.
Yes. My only source of income right now is the Social Security. Is it possible to save?
Roy's interested in saving.
Yeah, Michelle? Roy. Yeah. So, Roy, are there other things that you need to do that, I mean, it's tough to live only on Social Security. And so I would say that perhaps you have to look at your life and see if there's some changes that you could make. Like, do you live alone? Is there a possibility that you could have a roommate or that you could have some shared housing? Because housing is obviously the most expensive in our budget. So if you can carve and chip off from that, that will free up some of your Social Security earnings to put towards saving for a cushion. If you've got a house, of course, something's going to break. If you've got a car, the car's going to break. So you do need to have a little bit of money, but that might mean making some hard decisions. And you probably heard me say several times about shared housing and things like that. And I get it. People don't want to share their space, or they're afraid. What if their roommate is, you know, crazy or something like that? But the fact of the matter is that shared housing, multiple generational housing, is a great way to get a handle of your finances. I'm a huge believer of it. I already told you that my husband and I have encouraged our adult daughter to stay here, not just for a couple of years, but several years. We've got two more behind her. We're trying to encourage them to come home and stay as well. And I think that that's how we have to attack this. I don't have enough money. Let's attack the biggest budget item that you have, which is housing.
Let's check out Ray on line 8. Ray, thanks for calling in. You can talk to Michelle Singletary, Washington Post finance columnist.
Hi, great. Thank you for taking my call. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Sounds like you have something interesting happening in your life.
Hey, Ray.
Always do. Hi, thanks for your expert opinion you're about to give. So basically, I'm an independent contractor. I work in like cold call sales, right? Like I sell solar panels, which is like an up and coming industry. It's been around for a little bit. But I recently started a small business, which has always been, you know, like my passion. It's an instrument rental company. So we're going on our second year, and cumulatively we've made like maybe $40,000. And so far, it's just me, like, maintaining the website, customers, delivering, all this kind of stuff. But it's time-intensive, and it's cannibalizing my main income source, which is the solar panels. So at one point, do you think it's not smart to cannibalize one income source for the other?
Well, that's such a great question. I would say you got to make sure that you've got a good cushion going on. And if you are doing okay with that at a point where you want to maybe drop one for the other, like maybe the job that you really want, which is making less. So build up to that. Now that you've got, you know, maybe pull back a little bit on the second job while you build up this cushion so that you could go a couple of years while you, once you leave the other job, or maybe cut those hours to focus on this other enterprise that you want. Mostly, I just make sure that you've got all the cash that you need to run your household as you're trying to figure out which job it is. Now, if you really like that second enterprise and this is what floats your boat and you're like, get you up in the morning, perhaps you look at where can I cut so that I can live off of the money from the second enterprise. Because life is so short and you don't want to run yourself ragged doing both of these things. And then you're not even enjoying life, not even enjoying the money that you're making from either of those enterprises. So make sure you've got a secure base right from the job that pays more. Cut to save up so that you can support yourself for maybe 1 or 2 years, then cut that and then go for the other enterprise where you can spend even more time and build up more revenue so that you can live off of that business.
I do want to get to Andrew on line 9 because I think he has a question that a lot of people have. Hi, Andrew. Thanks for calling All of It. What's your question for Michelle Singletary, finance columnist for the Washington Post?
Thank you for taking my call. So I'm 25 years old. I've got $170,000 about in private student loan debt. Right now, as the company has it, I'm on an interest-only repayment plan of about $1,300 a month. Seemingly, this payment is only supposed to go up if the payment plan goes according to plan. I'm obviously not able to make those payments right now. I haven't since I graduated in 2018. I'm basically just wondering, how do I start my life? How do I plan to save for moving out? How do I plan for health insurance when I turn 26? How do I do anything with this mounting level of debt and, you know, such high interest rates?
It's such a, thank you so much for calling in and sharing all your personal information. Just some, you know, where can he start? Because it's sad, you know, when you hear him talk about it, it seems so enormous, and it is enormous. But everything has to have a beginning. Where can we begin?
So I heard him say move out. So I'm thinking he lives with his parents still. Do you know, Allison? I don't know if the screeners might have asked him that. At 25, let's just say he's still in with his parents. I say stay there. And cut everything out, and whatever he's able to make, say he's making $30,000 or $40,000, and live on very little, and take almost all of his pay and attack that debt. Because here's what's happening. That debt is growing exponentially because he's not making any principal payments. So that $170,000 is going to balloon quickly, and we want to stop that. And so I would say wherever he is, if he can live someplace where he doesn't have to pay rent.
Yeah, he does live with his parents.
They cover most of his utilities and things like that, like you live with your parents. So that's great. So then keep living with your parents. And whatever he's making, let's just say he's bringing home $30,000 after taxes. Let's just take that number. Well, you divide $30,000 into $170,000, he can get rid of that debt a lot faster than he thinks, right? And so that's what I want him to do. I want him to stay at home, talk to his parents, say, listen, I need to get rid of this debt. It's just a weight on me. Can I not pay rent and utilities? And let me just take, you know, I would say, you know, $20,000 of my pay, or even $25,000. I'm just going to live off of five and just attack my debt. And in, you know, 5 to 6 years, he could get rid of that debt, and he's still very young and can then move out and start his life. I mean, that's practically speaking, because there's no other way to attack, especially because it's private debt. And with only making interest payments, it's only going to grow. And before he knows it, it's going to be $200,000. And I don't want that for him.
Do whatever you can to pay, is what you're saying, to pay off that loan. Before I let you go, I just want to do the entire side. There's a small group of people out there who, for whatever reason, maybe because of commuting, because they didn't take the family vacation, might have a little extra money this year. What would you suggest someone do with a little bit of extra money? Let's say they already have their cushion, something that they might want to think about doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they've got their cushion, yay. If they got debt, not so yay. You know, I want them to not do anything. And I know you're like, Michelle, I've been closeted for a year in a pandemic. I don't care. I need you to focus on getting rid of that debt. Just for this season, right? I mean, it's so crucial. People coming into the pandemic who had debt and was living their lives, and they were doing okay, right? Living paycheck to paycheck. It wasn't so bad. Then they lost their job, and you realize how bad it could get quickly. Mm-hmm. And so remember that. Take this to heart. And I know you don't want to hear what I have to say. And I know there are other people who say, well, people should be able to treat yourselves. Hogwash. No, do not treat yourself. I want you to suffer now so that you don't have to suffer later. So get that debt out. Andrew, stay at home. You're not going on no dates. You're not, you know, you're just going to be watching Netflix with your parents until you get that debt done. And then you can go back and stream everything that you missed. You know, seriously, guys, I want you to prepare for that next crisis because it will happen. But if you just make some sacrifices now, you can do the things you want later.
Andrew, we are sending you all good wishes. I really hope things work out for you.
Yeah.
No debt. You heard the lady. No debt. Get rid of the debt. Michelle Singletary, personal finance columnist for The Washington Post and author of the new book, What to Do with Your Money When Crisis Hits, A Survival Guide. A lot of really good practical information in your book. Michelle, thank you so much for taking calls from our listeners.
Oh, thank you for having me.